you're here. Fellowship, sweeter, knowing you're near. It's so good to see you. I hope that it's fair. Everyone loves you. We're glad you're here.
Reading from 2 Timothy chapter 3, verses 16 and 17. Probably familiar with anyone that's been a part of Awana or maybe Navigators. It's a pretty familiar verse that many have taken on to memorize and think about. But it's a great one, and I think it'll allow Pastor Jason Schiffo and I to have a good discussion on this and points of application or thoughts about it. But it speaks for itself. It says, all Scripture is God-breathed and is useful for teaching, rebuking, correcting, and training in righteousness, so that the man of God may be thoroughly equipped for every good work. Oh, magnify the Lord with me. Let us exalt His name together. It is Friday. Hello, Pastor Jason Schiffo.
Hey, Mark Burns.
Yes. Oh, let me announce a few things before we talk a little about this passage, because I know, you know, context is king, and you'll probably, again, I will let our listeners know you've had maybe a couple minutes notice that I felt like God was putting 2 Timothy 3, 16 and 17 on my heart. Not that you'll just be winging it, but you haven't had time to prepare and really look at it and examine it and study it and deliver a message. But I know you have it in you, so. As is my practice, we'll talk about that in just a minute. But I wanted to point out that the Singing Men of GNN will be launching a new series of rehearsals. So men, if you have a desire to sing and declare the wonders of God, we'll be meeting 7 p.m. at the Great News Media Center at Marketplace Mall in Champaign. We're right between Lens Crafters and Old Navy. There's an outdoor entrance, so enter from there, and we'll begin at 7 p.m. And then also, everyone, you're invited to our grand opening open house. It's Saturday, March 26th. But we're going to have food and fellowship and fun and giveaways and that mystique on what's going on, what's that place look like, because we still have to put artwork and things on the wall and still fine-tuning our studio setup, and we need to get some shades. So much sun comes in that it's hard sometimes to record. But the date is set Saturday, March 26th for our grand opening open house. I think it's 1 to 4 p.m. looks to be the hours that we'll have visitors come, and we'll have prize drawings and giveaways and some fun. So put that on your calendar. We're excited about that. And then finally, I just want to alert our listeners, and if you're being blessed by this radio ministry, how we raise high the name of Jesus and divide His word, we have great Bible teachers and devotional thoughts and inspirational music to encourage you. We're dedicated to educate, edify, and evangelize. That's what we'll always do. We love God's word, and we love it being taught. And if you're a recipient of a blessing through the broadcast, through tuning in, or you see the vision and want to reach the next generation or those neighbors and friends you know that haven't come to that saving knowledge of following Jesus Christ, then please consider supporting us on an ongoing basis and start this month, you know, whether it's $15 or $25 or $50 or $100 a month. Be a part of our ongoing giving family, as we're 100% listener supported. So your donations will put it to good work. And we had asked that you would be a part of our listening family, a donor. And you can write to us at Great News Radio, P.O. Box 550, Fisher, Illinois, 61843. Or our Springfield address that many of our WLUJ family of station listeners are aware of. That's WLUJ 600 West Mason Street, Springfield, Illinois, 62702. And if you didn't have a chance to write that down, hey, just call the station. Karen or Joyce or Paul will answer any questions or give you our address. And you can call 217-367-7777. 217-367-7777. Together we do better. Did you used to say that at the Jewel food stores? That was always something we said all the time. Together we do better, team.
Yep.
Yeah. I should mention Pastor Jason Schiffel, prior to being called to be the pastor at the Community Evangelical Free Church in Mahomet and working at Bed Bath & Beyond. But anyways, we both share working for Jewel Food Stores for a number of years. We've earned our stripes. We always said, or it's pretty well known, if you made it and lived beyond Jewel, you could just about do any kind of job because it was pretty rough. They were pretty demanding and it was brutal at times. And if you survived Jewel, everyone always said, and anyone would hire somebody that survived Jewel because they knew they were refined and stretched and beat on, and, you know, the number crunching, everything we had to put up with. If you survived it, you were going to make it somewhere else. And so you and I both share being store managers and overseeing the craziness of running, you know, a 24-hour-a-day grocery store that has unlimited needs and demands and pressures. And I think that's when we met up 10-plus years ago, and I learned you were a grocery store manager. I think we instantly, like, connected, and I think it was within a week that you did your first broadcast with me, and it was during that time. I've shared this story over the years, but it was during that time I thought, this guy and I really get along and mesh and similar background experiences. We survived Jewel. I think he'd be a great co-host with me. And you and your church and Tasha prayed that through and felt like you could carve out time to assist. And, you know, 10 years later, here we are on a Friday looking at God's Word. And at least I derailed the whole conversation. I wanted to point out this scripture in 2 Timothy 3:16 and 17. All scripture is God-breathed and is useful for teaching, rebuking, correcting, and training in righteousness so that the man of God may be thoroughly equipped for every good work. And I was thinking, Jason, in light of a few weeks ago, I just really appreciated many of the comments and things you said about preparing for a message and a sermon and being really intentional on, okay, Lord, let's do this sermon series on the book of James, and I can break it into these parts and study and prepare and have outlines and handouts for everyone, and they know what to expect, and this is great, and I can really study and pray and prepare and know in advance, and that way I can work around the weddings and the funerals and all the other demands and the many things that you have to do for children and keeping everything balanced and the balls in the air. So yes, God, it's great that we have the sermon outline. Yet, Lord, on the other hand, sometimes you do this to me. I have this message all prepared, and then you're stirring in me to teach on something else. Anyways, and so I want you to flesh that out a little more, and then maybe talk about this scripture, because maybe it's part of your premise on all scripture is God-inspired. It's useful to teach, to correct, to train, to equip us for the day. And sometimes from day to day and life experiences, God leads you to focus on something that initially you hadn't thought about. And so I want you to maybe try to flesh a little more out of this verse and then talk about sermon preparation and how pastors have that tension of following God's new leading when you have this preparation all down and expectations from the congregation to continue in the second chapter of James, say, because that's the series you're in.
Yeah, it's really kind of a difficult conversation, Mark, because it's an and both. There's not an either or. So what I want everybody to hear when I talk about this conversation is not this is the way. This is a way in the midst of a myriad of different ways. But this is something that I feel like the Lord has really impressed upon me, particularly in this season of life and where I'm at. But, you know, for many years, and we all know this, pastors work on sermon series. The lion's share of all the pastors I know, they have a series of sermons. They kind of say, okay, hey, we're going to do the book of James. And then, you know, we're going to call it Living Like a Christian. And just like you said, you know, we're going to break it out into these pieces, and we're going to give these dates, and I'm going to tell all the people exactly when all the things are going to happen. And when they come to church, they know we're going to be in James chapter 1, this verse through this verse. And there's an expectation there. And that's all well and fine. In fact, just as you rightly said, you know, that works wonderfully because, you know, as a pastor, there are so many different things that happen during the week. And your week could be humming along and it could be going along just right, and all of a sudden something happens. Somebody gets sick, somebody dies, something, you know, God forbid, just something happens. And your week becomes incredibly difficult. And so having those tracks to run on, knowing that, okay, we're in James chapter 1 and verses this through this, and this is the message that I need to write, and these are the commentaries I need to read, and this is what I need to do, makes it good as we're trying to balance all of those other things. But unfortunately, at least me personally, I feel more and more this tension of what we're actually doing is trying to create a process in which we can domesticate the Spirit of God.
Hmm.
We're trying to create this process so that we can allow our life to work better or at least work well. And we're going to use the, I don't want to say excuse, but we're going to use the rationale that I'm stewarding my time and my resources well in order to do this. But the problem with this is, or at least the tension for me is, that I don't get to domesticate the Spirit of God.
Hmm.
I don't get to contain what it is he wants to say, when he wants to say it, and how he wants to say it. And yes, my job is to teach the Bible, but the scripture, as this verse says right here, is spirit inspired. God breathed into the scripture. It has life, it has breath, and it speaks to us. And therefore, it means that I have to seek the Spirit when I'm doing it, not just simply the commentaries.
Mm-hmm.
Now, we need the commentaries. We need the great cloud of witness. We need all that God has poured in historically to teach us what these scriptures mean. But there also is something incredibly powerful about the life that we're supposed to live in the Spirit. In fact, when Paul talks about his inability in Romans chapter 7, you know, he says, I want to do the thing that I don't know how to do, and I just keep doing the wrong thing, and I can't understand why. You know, he kind of builds a head of steam, and he says, oh, wicked man am I, who can save me from this body of death? And he says, thanks be to our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, who delivers me continually. And then we segue into Romans chapter 8, therefore there is no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. And then what happens in Romans 8? Romans 8 becomes all about the Spirit. In fact, the Spirit of God is mentioned, I believe, it's like 12 to 16 times, depending on the translation that you're using. And it says in verse 2 in Romans 8, because you belong to him, the power of the life-giving Spirit has freed you. Verse 5, those who are controlled by the Holy Spirit think about the things that please the Spirit. Verse 11, the Spirit of God who raised Jesus from the dead lives in you. And just as God raised Christ Jesus from the dead, he will give life to your mortal bodies by the same Spirit living within you. Verse 14, those who are led by the Spirit, some translations say walk in the Spirit, keep in step with the Spirit.
Hmm.
And then verse 15, you have not received a spirit that makes you fearful slaves. Instead, you have received God's Spirit when he adopted you as his own children. Now, we now call him Abba Father, this kind of nearness and closeness that we have with God that comes through the Spirit. And my concern when I sit down and I plan out a year's worth of messages, which is what I've done in the past, I've deviated here and there, but largely I've said, okay, this is what we're going to do for this year, and I've kind of plotted and planned it all out. I'm able to give it to the worship team. I'm able to do all of these things. And what I'm actually doing in all of that is trying to have a measure of control over how everything on Sunday morning is going to happen. But what if I said Sunday morning belongs to God and his Spirit? Because what happens to me a lot, Mark, is I plan out all that I'm going to do. And then at some points during the week, there can become this wrestling match where I feel like God is saying, no, I want you to talk about this. And I'm like, no, God, you know what? I already wrote this. And he's like, yeah, I know you wrote that. It's pretty good, but I really want you to talk about this. I know, God, but you don't understand how much time I've put into this.
Yeah.
And God says, you don't understand that I'm telling you I want you to say this for such a time as this. And, you know, the funny thing about us talking about this, Mark, is this example actually landed in my backyard this past week.
Mm-hmm.
My daughter was going to a wrestling match. She doesn't wrestle, but she helps keep score for the wrestling team here in Muhammad. And I was taking her at 5 a.m. so she could get on the bus and go on this wrestling meet on Saturday morning. And I had written a message for Sunday. It was already done earlier in the week. I was feeling good about it. I got to revisit it multiple times where I really got to refine it and get it to the point where I was very pleased with what I was going to say. And 5 o'clock in the morning, I'm driving my daughter to the wrestling meet. And I'm thinking, you want me to say what?
Hmm.
You know, I'm feeling like this nudge from God, like I have something for you to say tomorrow. And I'm going, wait, tomorrow? I have something to say tomorrow. I already wrote it. Remember, God, we've been working on it all week together, me and you, man. It's been great. And God's going, no. You know that thing that's happening in the life of your church this week? I want you to talk about that because all the people in your church are moving along with this thing, and they're moving through this time, and they need to understand what it means to do that in a biblical and godly way, and what it means to do it with me. And I'm going, I know. But we wrote that one thing, and it's really good. You know, and I really feel like, well, what happens? You know, my wife comes downstairs at 7 o'clock on Saturday morning after I come back home, and she's like, what are you doing? You know, I'm pounding away on the keyboard. And I said, I'm writing Sunday's message. And she goes, I thought you already wrote Sunday's message. And I'm like, you know, I really don't want to talk to you right now. But I really felt like God. And here's the thing. I'm sure the message that I wrote earlier in the week was good. You know, I'm sure it was good. And at some point I will give that message. But there was a power and a voice in the message that I gave that the Lord wanted me to give that just blew my own socks off. I mean, people coming up to me and talking to me about what they heard and what they felt through the message, you know, things that I didn't even know that I intended to say or meant to say or was even kind of the target I was going to hit. But it found its target, and it hit that. And why? Because that message was God-breathed. Mm. Because God had something to say in that moment. And so I'm not against planning out sermon series. I don't want anybody to hear that when you're listening to this right now. But what I am against is this kind of idea that this is what we're going to do hook or crook. Like, this is how it's going to go no matter what. We planned this out. We purposed it. We've got the worship team. Listen, God will use it all in a profound way. Mm-hmm. Even if you don't think it will, because man makes his plans, but God orders the steps. And so we have to be very careful. And so I'm just in a season where right now our church doesn't know what I'm going to preach on Sunday. In fact, it's kind of funny because this coming up Sunday, I told them, I said, well, this is what I think we're going to talk about, you know, and I have a few messages about something that I think is really timely and topical that I really think we need to have a discussion about. And I told them about it ahead of time because there needed to be a disclaimer because it's going to be a difficult couple of messages. But as I'm moving through this week and I'm praying, I feel like the Lord's saying, hey, what if you just set that aside for another couple weeks and we talked about this thing that we need to talk about? Because I want to keep in step with the Spirit. I want the Spirit that Jesus didn't give me the Spirit for no reason. He gave me the Spirit so that I could be led back to Him, be reminded of all that He's done, and lead others back to Him. And what that means is that sometimes I don't get to say what I want to say. I need to say what the Spirit wants me to say. Mm-hmm. And what Timothy says here is all Scripture is inspired by God, is the inspiration, it's given by God, that is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction. We can get ourselves all really tied up in all of that. But then it says this, that the man, and I also want to add in there woman, because because Paul does say in Corinthians that women prophesy, women share the word of the Lord, so that the man of God may be complete. And the completeness of the man and woman of God comes from the fact that they actually believe that God speaks through his Scripture, that it is inspired by him, that it is God's voice speaking. And that through the Spirit, we have access to understand the things that God is speaking, but we need to be listening. And my concern is that sometimes, and it's my concern because it's been my experience, is that sometimes I can be so tied up in what I'm doing that I'm not listening to the Lord speaking. Because generally, I know when I'm listening to the Lord speaking because it's bungling up my plans. You know what I mean? It's you know, I'm going, but wait, I got this and this, and you know, I'm real busy, and I got this going on, and the Lord's like, yeah, I know. You've got a lot of important things to do. Me too. But I took time out of my agenda right now to speak to you. So could you take a few moments and listen to me? Mm-hmm. And listen, if we say we believe what we believe, then that voice is the most important voice of all. And if we trust whom we say that we trust, then we must trust that what he tells us to say and speak to others is going to have a profundity to it that maybe even we miss. Mm-hmm. You know, we think like, oh my gosh, Lord, is this message going to be good? I mean, I only had a day to write it. And the Lord goes, it'll be fine because my Spirit is going to guide this message. My Spirit is going to empower this message. You're going to end this message and think, did that even hit its target? And in your weakness, you're going to witness my strength.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what I witnessed on Sunday.
Yeah, and what I've liked about your sermon preparation, because I've been under your teaching for many years, is that you have that balance, that tension, if you will. You prepare, you pray, you read the scriptures, you saturate yourself in God's word, and yet you also are open to him leading or directing or changing. And there'll be times when you're preaching and you'll say, hey, this isn't even in my notes, but I feel like I'm supposed to say this. Or you'll finish up and you say, you know, that word that I just shared with you, that was God bringing conviction to me. I'm learning as I'm talking. And you're open to God's leading and the Spirit's bringing a fresh word through you, through your diligence and preparation, and yet your openness to be available to change it. And I wanted to point out one thing. I just think it's so funny, but this verse, it's useful for teaching, rebuking, correcting. And I've heard some people say, yeah, I have the gift of rebuking or correcting people. And it's like, no, I think you pulled that a little out of context. It's not like a gift of rebuking or correcting. It's that God's word that's sharper than a double-edged sword.
Well, see, you know, the problem is, Mark, and it's really funny that you bring that up, because I've heard the same thing. And then I said, listen, let's have a moment. We're going to pause right now and have a moment of Bible exegesis, Bible hermeneutics, if you will. It says that all scripture is given by the inspiration of God and is profitable for what? For doctrine. So that doctrine would be kind of the scaffolding of understanding who God is and what God is and what God is doing in the world. Doctrine is not the thing that your church came up with. Doctrine is this word that kind of helps us to give us a framework of who God is. But then for reproof, correction, and for instruction in righteousness, why? Mm-hmm. So that the man or woman of God may be complete. So this is first and foremost about you. This is first and foremost about reproof and correction and instruction for you. Why? Because, you know, none of us would say, I'm God, I'm the center of the universe. But a lot of us live that way.
Yeah.
And so the scriptures, this thing that's inspired by God, is profitable, which means that there is value and riches in the fact that it corrects us. Yeah. It instructs us. It reproofs us. It teaches us, it helps us to build a scaffolding to understand who God is. But what are we going to do with all that?
Mm-hmm.
You know, all of that, we should take that and we should listen to what God is saying, listen to what God is doing. If we believe that his word is living and active, that's an extension of the fact that he is living and active.
Yeah.
I mean, his word can't be living and active, but he's dead and gone. He is behind that word speaking to us by his Spirit who authored that scripture throughout time and through a myriad of different people. And he's using that to have us speak and to live and to move in the world as he would please, to continue to carry out his good work,
mm-hmm.
the work that Ephesians tells us in Ephesians 2:10, the good works that he has given that we would walk in them.
Yeah.
And so my whole thing, Mark, just right now is I just want to hear what the Spirit is saying. I want to hear what God is saying. And I want to deliver to the people what God is saying, not what I think is a good idea, not what I think is going to be a flashy sermon or whatever. In some places, people are spending so much time trying to package the sermon that they've depleted it of all of its spiritual power. And listen, we don't need in this time right now, and I don't want to put a lot of emphasis just on this time, but for us right now, this time seems to be very important and it seems to be very precarious. But in this time, there are no words that we need other than the words of God. The words of men have utterly failed us right now.
Mm-hmm.
All the comfort, all the promises, all the we're going to do this, we're going to do that, we are no better today than we were 24 months ago where the words of man are concerned. I think that God has proven that his words, his Spirit-inspired words, are the words that we need right now. And therefore, those people who call themselves prophets of the Lord need to walk in the Spirit, need to keep in step with the Spirit, need to be living in the Spirit, and need to be offering other people life in that same Spirit.
That every man and woman, boy and girl that is tuned in now, that today that we may be thoroughly equipped for every good work. God has plans and purposes for you today to bring that hope and healing message, the good news message of Jesus, to this hurting world. May we take heart and read and study and listen to God's word on a daily basis. Well, thanks for listening. Thanks for being a part of our radio listening family. This is Mark Burns and Pastor Jason Schiffo with the Ministry of Great News Media. God bless you and have a great day, night, and weekend.